Today's match is in the books, and we're breaking it down. This is your RSL post-match show on the RSL Radio Network.
All right, welcome in to the post-game show here on the RSL Radio Network. Real Salt Lake couldn't find a way through, finishing 0-0 against Columbus Crew. A little frustrating, to say the least. I wouldn't go so far to say 2 points dropped, but RSL definitely had the better of the chances throughout the night. Columbus Crew much changed with some suspensions, injuries, and obviously a midweek trip to Mexico. Fielded a, I can't even say a weakened squad because it's a really deep squad, but obviously Diego Rossi coming off the bench in the end, but without Cucho, I'm going to do this multiple times. Cucho and Christian Ramirez, who are suspended and injured respectively. But RSL will certainly feel a little frustrated they couldn't find a breakthrough tonight.
I see, and I do feel a little bit like 2 points dropped just because of the quality of the chances that Real Salt Lake had versus what the Crew were able to produce. Nothing that really challenged Zach McMath. Obviously, he had to make a couple saves, and they were a couple decent shots on frame, but they were right at him, where RSL had some really good opportunities to put the ball in the back of the net, particularly in the first half, and just weren't able to get it done. For anyone who is listening and was maybe, I don't know how you would be already listening if you were in the stadium, but the offside call on the penalty was correct.
Yes.
Anderson was off, which shouldn't surprise too many people because Anderson's usually offside. Very unfortunate. It would have been incredible if that had stood as a penalty, but that was the correct decision, unfortunately, to call that offside. But offensively, it's still an exciting team. I think one of the positives you take out of this game is that you didn't concede, as we've talked about, against a very good Columbus team, even though they're quote-unquote weakened with suspensions and injuries. It's still a dangerous team, and RSL played them very well. I thought Justin Glad and Brian Vera everyone had a really good game defensively tonight, I think. I was impressed with Amicanelli getting forward. I thought he had some really smart plays, as well as Katranas getting forward, but just couldn't get it done offensively tonight, which unfortunate to be held up scoreless at home, but a point at home.
One of the interesting things for me, and which told me RSL played well, is that they went for the 97 minutes and they didn't look like they'd run out of ideas. They kept going, and sometimes that happens, you know, when you do, you're just a little stale. It hasn't happened tonight, and things become static. We didn't see that, and that was really encouraging for me, even though it's just the point at home. Little stat coming over from Tyler Gibbons. RSL haven't won back-to-back home games since last summer. And that's frustrating because we're trying to get this back to being a more of a fortress where people dread to come and play.
Yeah, and that is unfortunate to hear, because we're so used to this being that fortress. In the last couple of seasons, it's dropped off a bit, and teams are feeling more comfortable coming into America First Field. And again, I think this RSL team, I think, is better and has improved, but the league is constantly improving. And when you have tough opponents like the Columbus Crew coming in, it's always going to be a challenge, but you should be expecting to get 3 points at home. That's fair for the fans to expect and for the team to expect. So it's fair for everyone to feel a little bit of disappointment at the home record at the moment, 2-1-1, and with where it's been sitting over the last couple of seasons, but still very early in the season. Lots of time to improve that home record and not drop any more points at home or keep it minimal. So I think lessons learned in this game, and you know, we'll move forward, and hopefully next home game, I believe it's against Sporting Kansas City on
May 4th,
yeah, Star Wars night.
Yeah.
Hopefully they return back to AFF a bit stronger and can not just get a win, but get a win against their rivals in Sporting Kansas City.
Games going on right now. It's currently 0-0 between Vancouver and LA Galaxy. Colorado Rapids up a goal to nil against San Jose. Rafael Navarro after 10 minutes. When you look at the stats tonight, RSL and Columbus Crew finished around 50-50% possession-wise. RSL was 17 shots, 8 of those on target. Two really kind of cool headers from Chicho Arango that just weren't able to beat Evan Bush and then Nicholas Hagen. Columbus Crew finishing with 12, 5 on goal. And apart from one that really Zach McMath pushed out really well across his body and out of the area, I can't really think of anything that troubled him. Everything seemed to be right down his throat. A good performance from Zach McMath again.
Yeah.
Looks We'd love to hear your thoughts, though, so please tweet at Lauren at Lars_MM. We'd love for you to sound out what did you like, what didn't you like, who was your man of the match. I know it's hard with a nil-nil, but I was thoroughly entertained. I thought RSL went for the 97-odd minutes that they had to play tonight and played with purpose and with pace. We're going to head to our first break. Hopefully, we'll get Pablo Mastroeni and a select bunch of players to give us their views tonight, but another point for Real Salt Lake as they move on to 12 for the season, sitting currently still fourth in the Western Conference, tied on points with Colorado Rapids. This is a live table, obviously. If Vancouver get a win, then RSL will jump above LA Galaxy, but Vancouver currently top of the table in the live standings. You're listening to the post-game show here on the RSL Radio Network. Okay, welcome back in to the post-game show here on the RSL Radio Network. Myself, Spence Warren, my partner, Lauren Beck. RSL getting a 0-0 draw at home against reigning MLS champs Columbus Crew. But it was a little bit of a frustrating night for Real Salt Lake. They played incredibly well for the 97-odd minutes and weren't able to find a breakthrough with 17 shots, with 8 of those being on target. But a fun night of soccer in what felt like finally a proper spring, if not slightly summerish weather.
Oh, just a lovely couple of evenings here in Utah. I think we're going to have some cold weather coming up, which I hate. But it's rejuvenating, this recent weather. So nice out here at America First Field tonight. Tough result for RSL. I mean, a point's a point. I'm happier with a point on the road than I am at home. A single point, I should say. But if you want to look for a couple positives in the result, it's 4 unbeaten for Real Salt Lake, 2 consecutive draws, and then 2 consecutive wins before that. And the first time RSL's been held goalless in a game since the first one of the season against Inter Miami. So I think there's still a lot of positives around this team. I think last week is acceptable, that draw. But tonight it hurts a little bit more because it's at home, because you had so many good chances. But I think there's a really good opportunity to bounce back next week against Chicago, especially given that the next opponent after that is Philadelphia on the road. It's a good opportunity for Real Salt Lake to kind of bounce back, find their confidence going into a really tough opponent in the Philadelphia Union on April 27th. So lots of opportunities for RSL. I think, again, it's just a few players taking on a little bit too much, not keeping their composure, but getting in really good positions. I was pretty impressed with most everybody tonight for RSL. Just couldn't find the back of the net.
We are still awaiting for the post-game press to start. We'll toss that down to the media room as soon as that kicks off. But as always, this show is about you, the fans. We'd love to hear your thoughts. So please shoot over your tweets or even on Instagram to Lauren. It's the same at Lars.
It's the same on everything. And Venmo, too.
So if you want to Venmo and buy diapers for the impending birth of the little Little Beck will
miss.
It'll be greatly received, and we'll just put it in the name of Spencer Warren so I don't have to fork out of my pocket for my co-host. But yes, next home game will be May 4th against Sporting Kansas City. So Star Wars night, 7:30 kick, will be here. So make sure that you get your tickets for that. You can just go to rsl.com. Make sure that's another sellout against a heated rival.
Yes, they lost tonight against Inter Miami. Suarez and Messi both with goals, of course. But they played at Arrowhead Stadium, as we said in pregame, and set the fourth highest attendance record. 72,610, I believe it was. Incredible.
Awesome. And about 60,000 of those were bought in January. So
yes. we're there for someone else. But that's okay. They did have a pitch invader. And Lionel Messi's bodyguard was on the field before the referee had a chance to actually stop play. I think he stopped play because he saw the bodyguard sprinting onto the field. That man is incredible. Props to him for just the eagle-eyedness and the focus that man has.
I just want to know what his salary is, what he's getting paid, and I'll just do it. You can give me 2/3, and I'll just do the same job.
And is there a backup for him? Like, who? What is that situation? What is if he gets hurt when he's sprinting onto the field, if a pitch invader hurts him? You know, that there's some details about that. I need an in-depth interview from like The Athletic on the Lionel Messi bodyguard, because I think he's admirable, his focus.
LA Galaxy just taking the lead. Jovalich getting a goal in the 56th minute there, with Colorado Rapids now up 2-0. Rafa Navarro getting another one. He's on a hat-trick now after goals
the
in the 10th and the 60th minute there. But yeah, pretty good night around Major League Soccer. Just 3-0 draws. Unfortunately, Real Salt Lake involved in one of those.
Quite a few red cards tonight as well. Three, one for Portland, one for Toronto, one for New York Red Bull. Probably the reason they didn't grab all 3 points against Chicago in that game, as that came late in the first half. You know, but still a good result for Chicago against the leaders in the Eastern Conference, New York Red Bull. That being said, I'm still not super worried about Chicago next week. I think the biggest concern is that it's on the road. You know, they've got Big Shaq as well, our guy Shaqiri. But I think that it's, again, like I said, a good opportunity for RSL to bounce back after this result and prepare for a tough one in Philadelphia the following week.
Yes, it will be. And the games will continue to come thick and fast, as obviously we've got Leagues Cup coming up this summer again, a tournament that we weren't quite sure about, but was done really, really well, and a fun experience when Major League Soccer shut down for a month. It was after that RSL, I won't say come undone, but the big injury to Paulo Ruiz kind of unraveled their season, because he had been involved in so much of the good things that RSL were doing in the attack, even though from that deeper playmaker role that he was occupying next to Brian Ojeda.
Be curious to see in the coming years of Leagues Cup if they start doing games in Mexico for that, like they do with the CONCACAF Champions Cup. It's something that the Liga MX coaches brought up last year, unhappy with being on the road for so long. I just am curious. The Mexican teams draw so many extra fans to these games. Oh, we have Pablo downstairs. We'll toss it down.
Obviously, a 0-0 draw is never fun, but it really did seem like you guys were the dominant side for a lot of that match, especially on the offensive side of the ball. What are some takeaways for you guys from this match, despite not getting the exact result?
Again, I think results is the one thing you can't affect. And then the next most difficult thing to do is put the ball in the back of the net. I think as far as executing the game plan, first half, there were some moments defensively where I thought we were a bit loose, but I think in the second half, again, we got good pressure on the ball against a team that likes to dominate the game with the ball and have a lot of possession in the final third. And I thought the guys did a great job. You know, I think the biggest takeaway for me, You know, the chance that Andres has in the first half in front of goal. Obviously, Crixey hitting the post. And there's a couple others, but I think on the whole, I think we just need to make better decisions in that final third. And at times have more patience, because a big part of what we do is want to set up a good rest defense. And so if we have to rotate the ball to get a better option looking forward. But again, I think that's getting into the weeds and very detailed. I think we did enough to get three tonight. But again, it's football, and that's why you got to put your best foot forward every weekend, because you're not guaranteed anything. But again, I think it's a good performance to continue to build on as we head on the road.
This is probably the third home match that I've been to where the crowd has audibly been expressed some displeasure with the officiating quite loudly. Your team had probably more than 10 or more fouls, more than Columbus for most of the second half. What were your thoughts on that, I guess? How do you kind of approach that with what seemed, I mean, five yellow cards for your players?
Yeah, I think generally speaking, I would prefer a soccer game without any fouls called. Is the way I'd like to see the game. But if you're going to call fouls, I just think it's really difficult when there's so many yellow cards shown and then there's yellow card fouls after that that don't get the same kind of treatment. And I think consistency is always important. But again, I think the refs are under. You know, they're under a microscope every game, and it's very difficult. But I think from this game, I think that was it. Just it was. I don't know if there was a player on the field for our team that didn't have a yellow card, which is probably a first.
Yeah. So this was the first RSL game since LAFC where they kept a clean sheet. What are your kind of thoughts on that? And such a frustrating game with so many fouls and not being able to put away those chances. How important is that going forward?
That's a great point. It's so funny because you oftentimes don't realize that because you knock on the door a lot and you just don't get rewarded with the goal. But again, I think defensively, we were very aggressive and from that, I think we won a lot of balls in really, really good areas. And, you know, credit to the guys on the back line and the pressure that we had on the ball up front. Everyone did a really good job of making sure we came away with a clean sheet. And against a team like this, that's obviously never easy. And I think it's a great foundation to build on as we continue forward.
You speak a lot about mentality. How would you rate this game for your team's mentality? It looked like they got Columbus with the heavily rotated side kind of got under the skin, and also the calls that were just mentioned kind of got under the skin of your players. Any thoughts on that?
Well, I would say from a mentality perspective, we want to be an aggressive team, and we want to be on the front foot. You know, I think as we continue through the season, there's moments where we have to dial it back a little bit. But you always want to be dialing it back versus having guys that don't understand what it takes to win games. And you gotta scrap for every point in this league. And so, you know, I think from a mentality perspective, they approach the game the right way. I mean, again, all the games that I've seen, even the game where, you know, Columbus goes to Tigres, they had a ton of the ball. And tonight, they had to work for every bit of possession that they had. And for me, that's a sign of a great mentality for our group.
What was the thought process on subbing out Crooks and Luna at the same time?
Well, again, I think at that moment, we weren't getting in behind. We weren't the game needed a little bit of something. And Fidel, again, he's a guy that always looks for goal, whether it's training or in games. Thought that was important. And then, you know, bringing Ando onto the field where it asks another question of just bringing pace on the field. And so you have Andres and then you have Ando and trying to free up Chicho in the pocket. And I think he got the ball in some really good spots. Again, but I think in the final third, we just weren't clean with our decision-making. That should have led to better opportunities on goal.
What's the thought process going forward after a game like this? Does it feel like You dropped 2 points at home?
No, it feels like we're, you know, 8 games into the season and there's a lot of work to do. Again, results you don't control. You can't get to the playoffs by counting points now. There's a lot more soccer to be played. And so the important thing is performance. Did we execute the plan that we set forth? And I think we did. Again, the only thing lacking is the goals. But, you know, it's the hardest thing to do in football. And we'll just keep cracking on.
Thank you.
Pablo, there were a lot of yellow cards, and there was a potential yellow when Katranas was fouled right in front of the bench. You had a conversation with the fourth. Did you get an explanation on why that wasn't a yellow? Because it would have been a red. It would have been a second.
Correct, and I think that's what I was saying about consistency. And it's really difficult to manage a game when there's so many yellows thrown. But what I was told is he didn't see it as a yellow. And so that's the information I was given.
You've talked the past few weeks about too many guys dropping too deep, and it's really hurt in the buildup. Did you think guys did a better job of being between the lines where they're supposed to be when they're supposed to be there?
I think so. I think so. Again, I think every team poses its challenges given their defensive shape. And again, what we talk about is the spaces that are available for us to exploit. And I thought, you know, Diego and Crooksy picked up balls in really good areas. You know, Andres always stretching, which was a threat all night. Chicho picking up the ball between the lines. And so I think for the most part, I think we did a really good job of that, of staying between the lines. And again, I think and that's why I use every game as a barometer. You know, you're not going to get from 1 to 10 right away. But I think since the Colorado game, we've done a really good job of understanding the structure, the roles and responsibilities, and the guys that have been executing.
Given the fact you've got to go on the road the next 2 weeks, do you think the guys have shown the aggressiveness and the focus that's going to be required usually when you go on the road?
I think so. You know, I think one of the things that we, you know, we took from the Minnesota game was to continue to play the same way and not sit back and not let them have the ball, because we want to preserve a result. We want to play the game regardless of the time and the score. We don't want to change what we do, because then what ends up happening is you got half the group thinking a certain way and half a group thinking the other way, and in that disconnect you're not a team anymore. And I thought tonight we didn't change that. We played to get the goal. We didn't, you know, last 10 minutes, 15 minutes, we didn't drop another back. As a matter of fact, I think at times we were hyper aggressive, and I love that. And I think the game, you know, fortune favors the brave in everything in life. And, you know, if we could take a point now, to take 6 in the next, you know, 3 games or whatever it looks like, then it was all worth it. But the most important thing is that we've, you know, as a group, we're making progress from that perspective, and I think it'll pay dividends in the end.
Pablo, Zach McMath had a lot of balls up and over the top. Is that part of the strategy as well, or was that just variation of service?
So, again, I think the important thing for me as a coach is, and this is the takeaway from the Minnesota game, is we want everyone to be playing to our game model, to our style of play every game. The player on the ball has the decision to play whatever he sees, right? As a coach, if you're micromanaging and joysticking, then it's us using these guys as chess pieces. The reason why they're here is because they're very good players and they all have the autonomy to make decisions. So one of the things that we you know, against a team that plays with a back five and they want to release their wingers really hard, the idea was, you know, this guy is going to be open on the, as we rotate it from left to right, the wing back's going to come. So Andres is going to be naked. And so the idea is, you play a ball there. If he's on, play him. And so then the next time, he's got a question of whether or not to release. And again, I don't think we punished him enough from that. We weren't clean enough in that execution to ask really good questions. If Andres would have, you know, set up a goal with a pass or got in behind and scored himself, then now those wingbacks have to really make a decision. And more times than not, the tactical adjustment is keep your wing back here. So now Brody has all the time to advance the ball. So that wasn't, it was, and I think every
long ball he played has a different circumstance, and that would be a question for Zach. You know, did he see the space in behind, and that he thought it was a, you know, because he played probably three really, really good ones, and then there was a couple that, you know, that kind of went astray. But I think that's the important part with you know, for me as a coach is to make sure these guys have the autonomy. As long as everyone knows what we're meant to be doing, they make decisions that they see, so that there's ownership in the team. If not, it just I wouldn't like playing for a coach that would do that anyway.
And then just quick follow up, clean sheet at home. Congratulations on that. Back line's playing great, and the two pivots seem to be gelling together with them as well.
Yeah, you know what? It started back in preseason. Emeka, you know, we thought maybe he'd be more of a right back this year, and because of numbers in the middle of the field, he played, you know, four or five preseason games in that position. Him and Ojeda have this almost like this chemistry that is beyond tactics, that it's a feel thing, you know, and you see it in all the sports, whether it's quarterback with the receiver, or whether it's, you know, point guard to the big man. They just have this real connection and understanding of like knowing where they are before the play even evolves. And so those guys have been monsters. And I think the guys in the back, Jay Glad, Vera, and Brody have been solid as well. So again, I think these are all fantastic foundational pieces. And then when it all clicks, it's a thing of magic, because now you put the ball in the back of the net and now you have teams running out at you, and we want to play the same way. So then we're going to get chances. But we'll work this week on breaking down the walls of that goal and making sure that we get one in the back of the net.
Thanks, Pablo.
Thanks, guys. Thank you.
That was your head coach, Pablo Mastroianni, and not too downhearted, but just because the players executed the game plan, and I thought they did a really, really good job. Obviously, the ideal scenario is that they put the ball in the back of the net. They were unable to do that, but being aggressive, I thought, and playing with pace and power, I thought they did everything tonight, apart from put the ball in the back of the net.
Got Justin Glad downstairs. We'll toss it back.
Justin, you guys didn't get the win, but you did get the clean sheet. From a defensive perspective, what was going well for you guys tonight?
Yeah, I thought the effort and the commitment was there. I thought we did a really good job first half limiting their shots. Second half, the game opened up a little bit, and they had a little more opportunities. But as a whole, the whole team was putting everything on the line, so that was a positive.
And then how tough is it to just see so many chances go without getting one in the back of the net?
Yeah, it's tough. It's definitely tough, but that's how it goes sometimes. Our whole thing, Pablo probably said it 2 minutes ago, but it's just to get one game better. So hopefully next game those fall for us.
It has been a minute since this team has collected a clean sheet at home. Was that like obviously a focus, was to go out there and just make sure you guys were tight defensively and kind of didn't allow any gaps against a team that normally likes, I know they had a couple starters that went up, but normally likes to press and kind of find those spaces?
I don't think it was particularly on the front of our minds. It was just to win the game. And obviously going into every game, our goal is a clean sheet. So I don't think it was any more so tonight. We just happened to limit their chances, and yeah, it feels good to get one at home though.
Justin, tonight you passed club legend Javier Morales in minutes played for RSL. I don't know if you knew that was the thing or not, but congrats. How does it feel having spent so long at this club that you came up through the academy, spent years and years establishing yourself here?
Yeah, it's a huge honor. Even being in the same sense as someone like Javi Morales is incredible. And yeah, hoping to pass some more players soon.
Anyone else for Justin? Anyone on Zoom have questions for Justin? Awesome, thank you.
Appreciate y'all.
That was Justin Glad. A little snippet there of passing the amount of minutes played, beating Javier Morales. That's no mean feat in itself after what Javi did. And Justin started the season really well for Real Salt Lake. He looks like he's back to his best form. It was a bit up and down in 2023, Lauren. But he seems to be really, really focused. And I thought he was excellent again tonight with some of his tackling, winning the ball, even in midfield. Just, again, that chasing down Diego Rossi towards the end of the game as well when he got in behind. You know, just his pace allows you to play that higher line.
Yeah, and his recovery on the couple that did get past him were really good as well. He's got pace. I think the biggest thing for Justin is, can he stay healthy, especially with Marcelo Silva out for the rest of the season? Maybe the rest of the
Pretty
season.
Much.
August is optimistic. That's the biggest question, I think, around him right now, because he is consistently good. I think last season we saw some uncharacteristic mistakes from him. But so far this year, really fantastic performances from him. It's just going to be, you know, a matter of him staying healthy and Vera not getting suspended.
Yeah, and it's obviously mental, staying mentally switched on as well. Sometimes, because he is such a relaxed character, sometimes, mm-hmm. We saw those uncharacteristic mistakes last season with a couple of shoddy back passes and really struggled to overcome that. That'll do it with regards to interviews tonight. We're going to head to a break and wrap up the show. But if you do have any tweets, you do have any thoughts, please feel free to shoot that over to Lauren at Lars_MM. We'd love to read that out and discuss your points tonight of the RSL get a 0-0 draw at home against the Columbus Crew. You're listening to the post-game show here on the RSL Radio Network. All right, welcome back into the post-game show here on the RSL Radio Network. We're here for a couple more minutes, and if you want any last-minute tweets read out, please shoot them over to Lauren at Lars_MM. Talking of Justin Glad, you heard from him along with your head coach Paolo Mascherini about tonight's 0-0 draw with the reigning MLS champs Columbus Crew. But Lauren, you had a little bit more on that Justin Glad news.
Yeah, before the game kicked off, I mean, they talked about it in the press conference a little bit. Justin Glad surpassing Javier Morales in minutes, becoming the fifth all-time for Real Salt Lake. He will also pass Morales in games started in the next two starts he has. So presumably against Philadelphia, he will surpass Javier Morales in that as well. And what an accomplishment. I mean, Javier Morales, club legend, someone that is pretty synonymous with the club, and Justin Glad well on his way to that if he's not already there. So huge accomplishment for him, and glad we've been able to hold on to him. We've talked about Aaron Herrera a little bit off the air earlier and kind of wishing we'd been able to hold on to him because he'd be right up there with Justin Glad on those lists and with that talent, but it is what it is. A couple of tweets. Cody Eden responded to Jake Hatch's tweet about the post-game show. Thought Anelli was great tonight in defensive coverage. He was very good all over the field. I think he's really growing and becoming quite a good player. James tweeted and said that he votes the yellow card as the man of the match, which is pretty fair. Plenty of yellow cards tonight. And along those lines, friend of the program, Scott Strong, tweeted, "One of the frustrations of the night was the inconsistent calls from the ref. I felt like there were so many calls throughout the night that it made it hard to get a good momentum going. Way too many people hitting the floor." Yeah, Columbus far too ready to go to ground at any moment. Scott tweeted that to us right as Pablo was talking about it in his press conference. I lots of inconsistency. I think usual yellow cards are a good tool to get a match under control, but I think tonight is a good example of that going awry. It felt like the referee never had the power over the game that he maybe should have. But yeah, inconsistent calls, lots and lots of yellow cards, difficult to kind of keep that game flow going. Thanks for tweeting in, guys.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. RSL now hit the road in their next two games. Coming up next Saturday will be a 6:30 kick against Chicago Fire, pregame with myself and Lauren. Actually, no, I'm on the call, so it'll be you and Jake. on pre and post, starting at 5:30, and then the week after it was a 5:30 kick against Philadelphia Union. That is going to be a test, a real test, to see if RSL match up with the top teams in Major League Soccer, and one that I'm sure they're confident about. Otherwise, why turn up at all? For a pregame starting at 4:30, that will be with Lauren and Alex, as I will be on the call again with Jay Nolly, doing a bits and bobs. No idea what he's doing. I didn't ask him, to be honest with you, but whatevs. But RSL finishing the night in fourth place in the Western Conference. After the first eight games, they have 12 points. A 0-0 draw against reigning MLS champs, Columbus Crew. From myself, from Lauren, from DJ, from Jay, from Alex back in the studio, and our tech stone, we wish you a wonderful rest of your night and enjoyable rest of your weekend.